Good morning. I'd like a lot of to thank you for coming and to hear God's word, both people here and those online streaming us. I hope that the lesson I'm going to give will uplift you, will get you to think about how God wants us to live, how we need to live, and how we can get to heaven. And that brings me to the topic. Heaven is the name of my topic. And you know that all of us as Christians should live in the hopes of an eternal rest in heaven with God and Jesus and all the saints. So when all the work on earth is done for us and we leave this world and our work is finished, we need to look forward to getting to heaven for eternity. This should be the very real hope of all Christians. But before we get to heaven, there are some things that we must do on this earth. And the first one I'm going to talk about is living our lives. If we look at Philippians 1, Philippians 1, verses 21 through 24, it says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account." So here we have Paul talking, and he's has a little conflict here between whether he wants to join Jesus, depart from this earth and join Jesus, or to stay here and continue the work of God in spreading the gospel. And as it says in that last verse, he thinks it's more important at that point in time in his life to stay there and to help, in this case, the Philippians church to grow and be closer to God. The second thing we must do in our lives is to die. And Hebrews 9:27 says, "And just as it is appointed for a man to die once, and after that comes judgment." And then we need to be buried, either our ashes or our body, depending upon which we have done to our bodies here on earth. And then we need to be to arise from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 through 58 tells us about how we will rise from the dead on that judgment day. And then we must face the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Well, hopefully, we'll hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servants," and go to heaven, and not hear those words, "Depart from me, I know thee not," and go to hell. You know, oftentimes we sing a song, "Sing to Me of Heaven." And that's page 583 in our songbooks. But why do people sing? Now we know here, when we're worshiping God, God tells us, commands us, that we need to sing. We know we need to sing praises to God and also to each other. Now when we're not here and we're out in the world, there are other reasons that we might sing. Let's say that we're at a basketball game or a football game or some other event where we sing the national anthem. Now, in that case, we're singing, hopefully, to be patriotic and just for the love of our country. Anytime we sing songs, it seems like that we are doing that for a reason, to express our feelings or desires of our hearts. When we're sad or miserable, we should sing songs that will help uplift us. But songs almost always express the sentiment of our hearts. James 5, verse 13 says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises," or in some verses of the Bible, it might sing psalms. But what songs should fill our heart more than singing about heaven? We need to remember that this world is not our home. That comes from another psalm. We're just a passing through. Philippians 3:20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." So there should be in our hearts every desire to get to heaven. And we know that it's not just coming to services here on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's every day of our lives. We must let people see God and Jesus in us. There, if we look back to that song, "Sing to Me of Heaven," there's a line in that that says, "Sing that song of peace." Our life on this earth is often troubled. Often we have conflicts. We have struggles. But if we lean on God, lean on Jesus, we can get through all those things. Matthew 24, verses 5 through 8 says, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not ashamed or alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains." And then to go along with that scripture, we turn to Matthew 10, verses 34 through 36. Here Jesus again talking says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household." So when Jesus came to this earth, did he come here to sow conflict? Cause problems? No, that's not what he's saying here. He knows that that's going to happen. He knows that there will be people that believe he is the Savior, and that there will be people that don't believe that he's a Savior. And conflicts can occur in families because of that. You know, I'm sure everyone in here would love to live in peace all the rest of their lives. But I'm sure for me that living here on this earth, we are never going to experience total peace, not complete peace. Revelations 21:4 says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." That is fantastic. Can you imagine no pain, no suffering, no death, no mourning, no worrying? Heaven is going to be just like that. You won't have to worry about anything. Another line from the song "Sing to Me of Heaven" goes like this: "From the toils that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing so. And from another verse in that same song, when my heart is weary and the day is long. You know, God has given us a lot of time here on this earth to live. And in some cases, with the struggles and things that we go through, our lives seem very long. In other cases, very short. Psalm 90, verse 10, says, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. And I know there's a few in this audience today that have passed that 80 mark. And there's a few of us that have passed the 70 mark. I'm at 70. I guess I'm in that lower range. But what Psalms 90 is saying here is that we are going to go through toil and trouble. Life on this earth is not going to be smooth all the time. That we have to work hard, not only in our jobs, but also we have to work hard in spreading the gospel, living our lives the way God wants us to live, if heaven's to be our home. James 4:14 says, what is your life? For you are a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes. To God, our lives are nothing, as far as time is concerned, because he doesn't live by time. And this verse says, our life is but a vapor. We're here for just a short time, and then we're gone. We are to work for God while we are here, never resting, if our hope is to get to heaven. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Again, here, Paul speaking. And we know from the scriptures that we read, he did fight the fight with all the struggles he went through in his life. He did finish the race. He did keep the faith. And that's what we need to do. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25 says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you might obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. And in some versions it will say crown. But what we have to understand here, back in those days when they ran races and they won, they didn't get a trophy, they didn't get a ribbon, they didn't get a medal, they got a wreath. If I remember right, most of those wreaths were probably made from olive branches or whatever and placed on the crown of the head. But that crown that they won back in those days is perishable. The leaves will die, if the rest of it will decay, so it is perishable. But what we are shooting for in our Christian race, our Christian walk, is to get that imperishable crown that will last forever, and that will get us to heaven. You know, there's another song that we sometimes sing, not as often. That's in our book on page 743, and that's We'll Work Till Jesus Comes. And it kind of goes like this, O land of rest, for thee I sigh, when will the moment come, when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home. We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus comes. Hebrews 4, verse 9 says, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Now here we know that God created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Well, guess what? If we get to heaven, we will be resting there also. Our toil and work on earth will be done. Hebrews 4:11 says, "Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience." So again, it's going to take work for us to get to heaven. It's not automatic. It's not just because we've been baptized, that's all we have to do, and we're going to heaven. We still have to work. We still have to do what God tells us that we need to do. Part of a verse from Sing to Me of Heaven goes like this: "Dreaming of the comrades that so long have gone." You know, for most of our lives, we're filled with memories of people that we knew have passed away. And many of us have lost loved ones that were very close to us. Several of us here in the audience here recently have lost loved ones. Sadly, some of our loved ones might have died outside of Christ, had not been baptized. But gladly, there are others that died as faithful Christians, and heaven will be their home. Now, do we know for sure what heaven's going to be like? No. We don't know if we will recognize our family members, our friends, but that's not the point. We know, whatever happens, that when we're in heaven, we'll know Jesus, we'll know God, and all the saints that are there. And that will be, again, a fantastic thing. John 14, verses 1 through 4 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." So here Jesus again talking. He has prepared for us a place. He has prepared us a place that we will go if we get to heaven, and we'll be joining Jesus there, because we know the way that he is going, and we'll be going that way too if we do God's will. Part of a verse from Sing to Me of Heaven goes like this: "In a fairer and fairer region among the angel throng." You know, this earth is a wonderful place because God made it. God placed the earth in a perfect spot in our solar system so that we could live comfortably. God has given us everything we need, and more in most cases. Yet for all the beauty that we see here on this earth, nothing will compare to that of heaven. But again, I stress it, we're not going to get there unless we're doing God's will. So what will heaven be like? Hebrews 11:10 says, "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." Well, we know what God did here on earth as far as the beauty of it. I'm sure it's even much greater when we get to heaven. Revelations 21:23 says, "And a city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb." Can you imagine that? No sun, no moon, but we get the light from the glory of God, and the lamp from the Lamb, which is Jesus. And finally, Revelations 21:25 says, "And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. So my question for you and for me is, are we doing what we need to do to get to heaven? Are we striving to live the life that's pleasing to God? Are we striving to help those that are not Christians to become Christians? We need to do that. Let's all make heaven our home for eternity by doing God's will. Thank you for your attention. And at this time, we offer the invitation to those that haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior and want to be baptized. Or if you are a Christian and you need our prayers or you need to come forward for any reason, please do so as we sing the song of invitation.